Turn for the lesson this hour once again to 2 Peter chapter 1, continuing the series of considering the virtues that Peter describes here, things that we are encouraged to add to our faith. And so he says, for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. So today we want to think about what we add to our self-control, and that is perseverance. This text, of course, goes on to tell us that when we grow in this way, by adding these qualities, these spiritual qualities to our character, it'll enable us to, of course, not only become more mature in our walk with the Lord, but also be more useful, as he says, more fruitful, less likely to stumble and fall. It goes on to say it makes us more confident of our calling and election and our entrance into the eternal kingdom. So it's a passage that's filled with great promises. And of course, these promises are conditioned upon our growing in the way that we should. And it's a great opportunity to be a Christian and to be able to grow and to have the teachings that are here to help us to grow closer to the Lord and to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Perseverance is what we're looking at today. Perseverance means patience, means steadfastness. And as we think about it, we want to think both about the passive quality of endurance and the active quality of persistence. I think there are clearly, it's easy to see that there are two sides to this idea of perseverance that we want to think about, and they do really, of course, go together. So let's think about the idea of endurance for a moment. And this is spoken of in Scripture, especially as we're reminded of the trials of life, the trials that come upon us. And they do come, don't they? We have difficulties in life, and life is beset with all kinds of trials, tests, difficulties that bear either directly or indirectly on our faith. And Scriptures teach us, for example, to rejoice when we encounter various trials because they produce greater endurance. They give us the opportunity to grow in our character and greater endurance. James chapter 1, James teaches that. Not at all joy when you encounter very manifold trials. The real question for us is, am I learning how to endure? That's what we need to think about. Am I a stronger Christian as a result of the trials that I have faced and how I'm dealing with them? And we think about trials and tribulations that come. You know, some of these trials are incidental to our service in the gospel. Sometimes we're going to suffer and have trials just because we're trying to do the right thing and trying to serve the Lord. And if anybody understood that, it would be the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul certainly knew what it meant to deal with afflictions. If we had time, we could go to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we see that several times in 2 Corinthians, Paul discusses all the trials. There's that one passage, chapter 11, where he talks about the time that he was beaten, how he was stoned, how he was left for dead, and all these things. He says, all this I still have concern for the churches. In chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses. Well, of course, we've been studying the book of Acts and reading Luke's account, much of which includes Paul and his life. And can anyone deny that Paul had to deal with a lot of trials and tribulations and suffering and affliction as a result of preaching the gospel? I mean, so much of his life was defined by that, and so it's no surprise to us. And so Paul often exhorted Christians, as servants of God, to persevere when we have to suffer for the cause. And you know, we can talk about how we live in a land where we have religious freedom, but my friends, don't ever think that that's a guarantee that it'll always be that way. And we need to be prepared to understand that sometimes life may take a turn unexpectedly, and we'll be called upon to suffer as a result of our faith. So a lot of our trials are incidental to serving the Lord in the gospel. Much of what we suffer, we bring on ourselves, of course. We just do things that are stupid. I've done plenty of those and suffer the consequences as a result. You know, sometimes I tell young people that, my own kids included, when they've done something, hurt themselves, or got themselves in some kind of trouble. I said, well, we tried to tell you this kind of thing might happen. You didn't listen. Well, you know, Lord Father tells us that sometimes too. And we have to be reminded, we bring a lot of things on ourselves, and a lot of times when we make mistakes, when we commit sin, the consequences come right now in this life. And we suffer consequences as a result. But I'll tell you where real endurance is needed is where we didn't do anything to deserve it. And there's all kinds of suffering like that, that it's not a result of anything that we are doing, anything that we have done to deserve it. And many great examples of those who suffered affliction for doing what was right, in fact. You think about Daniel in the book of Daniel, the Old Testament, and all who went through as a young man suffering just because he chose to do right. And his three friends, his three young friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who suffered mightily for just doing what's right. Job, of course, is a classic example in the Old Testament, and the story of Job is one that's very inspiring in so many ways, because here was a man who walked with God, who was godly in all respects as far as we can tell, and yet he's had to suffer. And he was himself perplexed and bewildered, not understanding why he was suffering when there were lots of people who were not righteous and who were not suffering the same way. And so we understand that kind of a dilemma. Jesus is our greatest example in this regard, though, isn't he? Jesus is the only man who ever lived that committed no sin, nor was there any deceit or guile found in his mouth. And yet he suffered just the same. He suffered when he did not deserve it. And Peter talked about this in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he makes that statement that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. The context of that statement there in 1 Peter chapter 2 is that Jesus, when he suffered, he did not revile. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. He suffered in a way that was godly. He suffered in the right way, endured that. And that's an example for us. That's especially what Peter is highlighting there. He says, we've been called for this very purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example to follow in his steps. So a lot of the perseverance, you know, in endurance is just knowing how to deal with those things that happen to us that cause difficulty and trouble in life. How should we look at these trials of life? Well, of course, the Bible teaches they're part of our discipline, part of the Lord's discipline, and the Lord teaches us and disciplines us as a father disciplines his son. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, he goes on to say, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Do we ever stop and think when we're going through some trial in life and some difficult, painful experience that maybe the Lord is using this to discipline us as his children because he loves us? He wants to make us better. He wants to make us stronger. And so there are many statements like this, that the trials, through our trials, faith is tested and greater perseverance result. Peter spoke of this in 1 Peter chapter 1 when he says it's like gold that's tested by the fire. Our faith is tested by the trials. And Paul knew this. His attitude toward that thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, his attitude was that power is perfected in weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he understood that. He learned these things by his own experience, as we said. So, yes, we should be thankful. Perseverance has a way of working maturity and completeness of character when we have to endure things in life that are hard and are painful, the trials of life. But the perseverance also involves an active quality. It's also persistence. It's persistence. It's just hanging in there and keep on trying and never giving up. Someone has said there's nothing so fatal to character as half-finished tasks. And we need perseverance to keep on and see the job through, to keep on when we're tempted to stop, when we're going tired, when we are discouraged. We just have to keep on and moving forward. And that's true in so many areas of life. We know that's true, that if we're not persistent, if we don't persevere in seeing a thing through, then a lot of things we'll never complete, we'll never bring to completion, and we have to work with these things. This is something I think about, tell people this every once in a while. I used to tell my students this, and that is when we were living in Arlington, and I decided I was going to enroll in the doctoral program, pursue my doctorate. I dropped out after about a couple of weeks because I just thought I've got to look at my. I began to realize how much this was going to take, how much work it's going to have to. I'd have to invest in how much time and. I just set it aside, put it off. I didn't say no, I'm not going to do it, but I had to think about it. And I talked with one of the professors there, and he said, you have to look at this as like running around one hurdle at a time. Don't try to think of the whole thing. Think of what's next. And people like that decided to help me. And I was struggling with, am I going to see this through? I don't want to start it if I can't see it through. Well, I started it up the next semester, and I finished it. But I tell you, there were these challenges. You have to be persistent if you're going to finish it. And so that's what I'm saying to us. When the Bible talks about perseverance, it's not only the passive quality of enduring things that happen to us, but it's also the persistence of saying, we've got to keep going. And so many times we may become discouraged and we lose our steadfastness. You think about the church of Sardis there in Revelation chapter 3, those seven churches. The church in Sardis lacked perseverance, and the Lord said they needed to strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen the things that remain. What that seems to be is you need to finish what you started. You started well, but you need to finish what you started. You need to be persevere in that. And we're taught to persevere in doing good. Romans 2:7. Persevere in doing good. Don't ever give up in doing it. Don't grow weary in it. Remember what Winston Churchill once said during some very dark times in England, as he in one of his radio broadcasts to people of Britain. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. And he went on to say, I say that we can be sure that we have only to persevere to conquer. Perhaps the greatest contribution that Churchill as a leader made in those very dark times in England was to inspire the people to hang in there, persevere, endure what's happening to us, be persistent, because we can make it through this. We can be victorious. The Bible says, Paul wrote, never lose heart in doing good, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9-10. We must not grow weary in doing good. We must persist. And then the third thing I want us to note here is that when you think about perseverance, it has the promise of reward. We persevere. We endure hard times. We are persistent in pressing on to see the job finished because of what's promised to us. That's, if we don't have that hope out there, then how can we make it through these hard times? How can we do it? How can we get through life if we don't know that there's a great reward ahead of us? So someone said the trouble with some folks today is they want to go to the promised land without going through the wilderness. And we have to understand that that's just life. That's the way things are that God has made it. And part of living in this old world is that if we want the reward at the end, then we have to be willing to persevere. We have to be willing to endure hardship and the trial will come. And we have to be willing to stay at it, stay after it, stay after it, never give up until the job is finished. Life is like a race. Like a race, it takes perseverance. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer there says, "So let us look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Let us look to Jesus who endured the cross." What is he? Endured the cross for the joy set before him. Why did he do it? Because of what awaited him. For the joy set before him. So then he says, "Let us not grow weary and lose heart." We learn from the example of Jesus, and what we learn is there's a reward laid up for us. To those who persevere, God promises a crown of life. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of righteousness. That's the promise that we have. And we can persevere. We can make it through anything. We'll keep our eyes on that goal. And run with endurance the race that is set before us. So I said enough on that. And so I taketh and I giveth back. And the time for that. You like that? That's poor grammar. But you get the idea. You've been patient today, and I appreciate you. And we're going to stand and sing one more song, and this will be a time for anyone who has a need to ask for the prayer and encouragement of the saints here. If we can help you in any way, once you come, I'll just stand and sing.